faces a choice. This is Battleground America. Here's Tara Servatius.
Folks, to understand this Iran war, because it's unlike any other America's ever fought, you've got to understand that it's contingent on what the Democrats will do when they get back in office. They can be counted on helping Iran to a long-range intercontinental ballistic missile that can hit America. They will fund it, and they will tolerate it because they want it. The Democrats are in partnership with Iran, and the only way to end the mortal danger of that is to kill the leadership, kill the mullahs. I've been saying it for months. Trump has no other choice. And I want to point out to you, by the way, nobody else was saying that. I nailed that in terms of what Trump would do. It would not be enough to cut a deal with them and simply let them go and hide in Russia because, and this is what's different from any other war, the Democrats are allies with them, whereas the other half of the country isn't. And so if they're allowed to live, to go to China or go to Russia to live, the Democrats will welcome them back as conquering heroes. They will unfreeze the sanctions money and tens of billions more will flow to Iran until there is a missile pointed at Kansas. So why now? Oh, this is an optional war because otherwise Democrats are going to build a hellscape with Iran in the driver's seat. They had to be killed to keep the Democrats from empowering them further. We've never faced a situation like this. The founders always assumed that'd be treason, and we'd take care of that the way treason is taken care of. Victor Davis Hanson lays it out what the mullah's strategy was up until the last moments before Trump killed them.
I think their strategy was kind of a Muhammad Ali rope-a-dope. Write it out, Trump would be gone in 3 years, and you'd get a Joe Biden or a squad member or a Newsom, and then you're home free to get the bomb, because they would not do anything. That was the strategy. I think it would have worked, actually. I think the Democrats are hoping, I'm not saying that out of maliciousness, I think they actually hope that it won't work, even though that would put American lives at risk, what they're posting. It's not just that it was a mistake, but it's wrong, it's evil. Well, if it's evil, then you want it to stop. If you believe it was an evil decision in the sense of wrong, then you might say, I disagree with the decision, but now that it's made, I want Americans to prevail and be safe.
To prevent that strategy from working, Trump did exactly what I told you needed to be done, what I knew needed to be done, and what I thought Trump would ultimately do, kill them all and keep killing them, row after row, generation after generation, 50, 80, 100, until there were no more. Democrats have put us in this position. It can't be any other way. Then you've got to cripple all of their systems to the point it would take the mullahs and Democrats years to reconstitute them, that it couldn't even be done in a single presidential term. To understand why I think this way, you've got to go back 11 years ago to 2015. When Obama began building the bomb with Iran, they already had medium range missiles at that point. It was the long range ones that they needed to really have a terrifying negotiating hand with the United States of America and with Europe, where Iran would literally be calling the shots. Why Democrats would want this is a subject for another podcast. We'll just keep it short here and summarize it with this. They're evil. And they genuinely believe that they are allies with Iran. Again, Iran funded American street protests by Democrats against Jews. They thought they had merged. But I don't want to waste time on that right now. I want to go back to 2015, a speech Marco Rubio made on the floor of the Senate opposing Barack Obama's final nuclear deal with Iran. It turned out to be prophetic because, see, what most people don't realize, they see us blowing up a lot of stuff in Iran, but they don't know what it is. The stuff we're blowing up is the work of Obama. Do you remember the Iran nuclear deal? It was called the JCPOA at the end of Barack Obama's term. It was sold to the American people with the lie that it was to prevent Iran from getting nukes. But if you read it, it was actually to assist Iran in getting two things, nukes and long-range missiles with which to deliver them anywhere in the world. The JCPOA did an astonishing thing most people weren't aware of at the time. It checked previous requirements of Iran that they not build missiles, medium-range missiles or long-range missiles. Unlike previous plans, this one was completely silent. What does that mean? Iran could sell all the oil it wanted unsanctioned while delivering the missiles needed to kill Americans in their bases and also to potentially deliver a nuke to our shores. Or even without a nuke, a long-range ICBM, holy cow, it could wipe out one of our bases. Most Americans didn't realize that the Obama administration had quietly erased the language that barred Iran from developing a missile, claiming it would be too controversial to put it in. The Iranians would never sign. But that language already existed in our sanctions deals against Iran. In other words, Obama's deal gave the green light to Iran without sanctions or any penalty to begin creating the very missiles that would kill our troops on our European bases and ultimately one day here at home. Here's Marco Rubio forecasting that exact thing. It's eerie because these are the very missiles and production facilities we are destroying today, the ones he predicted on the floor of the Senate as a U.S. senator in 2015, 11 years ago.
They'll also build long-range missiles. Missiles capable of reaching the United States. Those are not affected by this deal, and they'll continue to build them as they've been doing. And then at some point in the near future, when the time is right, they will build a nuclear weapon. And they will do so because at that point they will know that they have become immune, that we will no longer be able to strike their nuclear program because the price of doing so will be too high.
Except now they'd be building these missiles, the very ones we're destroying that can now hit our bases in Europe, but now they'd have Democrat permission. And they'd also have billions more from the Democrats that could be released once the deal passed in 2015. Why? Because at the time they were working on long-range missiles in violation of the agreement. So when they'd sell oil, the bank accounts could be frozen. They were sanctioned. This would greenlight the building of the missiles. Since they were no longer in violation, this is the truly evil part, by manufacturing the missiles to kill our troops and eventually us, since Iran could build those missiles now without any penalty in the 2015 Obama deal. So it simply said, well, since you're already violating the deal we have now and you won't agree to a new deal, we'll just take missiles off the table. When we take them off the table, you won't be violating the sanctions, so we can send you a lot of money with which to build the missiles. And that's exactly what happened. Here's Marco Rubio prophetically, although it doesn't take much intelligence to figure out what the Democrats were doing, prophetically predicting this in 2015 from the floor of the Senate.
I do want to be recorded for history's purposes before I know what was going to happen in regards to this if it goes through. Iran will immediately use the money that it's receiving in sanctions relief to begin to build up its conventional capabilities. It will establish the most dominant military power in the region outside of the United States, and it will raise the price of us operating in the region. They're going to build rockets capable of destroying our aircraft carriers and ships, continue to build these swift boats that are able to come on us, these fast boats that are able to swarm our naval assets. And they'll make it harder and harder for U.S. troops to be in the region. They'll also work with other terrorist groups in the region to target American servicemen and women. And they may or may not deny that they're involved, but they will target us and raise the price of our presence in the Middle East until they hope to completely pull us out of that region.
That's exactly what happened. By 2023, the strikes on our bases began. 223 of them hit either our bases or our military installations. Most of them delivered with missiles mounted on next generation drones purchased with money that Biden unfroze. But I want you to hear this part of the Rubio warning again, because it happened.
They'll also continue to build long-range missiles, missiles capable of reaching the United States. Those are not affected by this deal, and they'll continue to build them as they've been doing. And then at some point in the near future, when the time is right, they will build a nuclear weapon. And they will do so because at that point they will know that they have become immune.
Folks, that is why they were repeat striking our bases. The 223 hits I keep telling you about just in the last 2 years of the Biden administration, resulting in 3 murdered military members. Remember, all 3 from Georgia. And 130 catastrophic brain injuries. These are people who are either vegetables or will need to be cared for the rest of their lives. Why was Iran doing that last 2 years of Biden? They were beginning to demonstrate, you can't come in here, you can't stop us in any way, to protect themselves, to create a kind of shield to build the nuke. But again, they don't need nukes to have that kind of protection. They only need long-range missiles. Well, that deal ended up being put in place. And what did Obama do? Celebrate it by giving them $56 billion to build the very missiles we are taking out now. Here's the fool, Obama, on that joyous day after JCPOA was in place, when he could finally say, oh, they're not violating. We're going to give them $56 billion that's previously been frozen. But don't worry, they'll like totally only spend it on civilians. This is Obama in 2015.
It is true that if Iran lives up to its commitments, it will gain access to roughly $56 billion of its own money. But the notion that this will be a game changer, with all this money funneled into Iran's pernicious activities, misses the reality of Iran's current situation. Iran's leaders have raised the expectations of their people that sanctions relief will improve their lives. Even a repressive regime like Iran's cannot completely ignore those expectations. And that's why our best analysts expect the bulk of this revenue to go into spending that improves the economy and benefits the lives of the Iranian people.
So what did they actually do? Oh, they continued making the missiles and upgrading them that Obama gave them the permission and now the money to make. That money was largely funneled into the program for the missiles. But then you'll remember Iran deeply embarrassed Obama by immediately violating the new deal after accepting the $56 billion transfer. They continued with nuclear enrichment as if nothing had ever happened, which, believe you me, is exactly what Obama intended. But it embarrassed him deeply. So by the end of his term, that's why he was sending Iran billions of dollars on pallets of cash, changed into foreign denominations and shipped on planes in the middle of the night. He couldn't be seen doing it during the day. It was too outrageous, even for him. But there's one thing you've got to understand so you can track how absolutely evil this is. One of the excuses the Obama administration made for not putting any kind of missile restrictions on Iran in their deal was, well, it didn't matter. The UN Security Council in 2015, in July, had already adopted a ban on those for Iran, or they'd be violating the sanctions. It was a binding restriction, right? So we didn't need to worry about that. Well, guess what? The UN let it expire in 2023. There's that year again, 2023, the year that Iran began through its proxies and with brand new high-tech hardware purchased with the money Biden sent. Remember, they said, oh, it's fungible. They'll spend it for food. And remember, even the Iranian leadership said, we're not spending it for food. We're going to spend it on defense. And they gave it to him anyway, tens of billions of dollars unfrozen. Yeah, that's why hell rained down on our troops in all those bases starting when? In 2023. Because Iran could now openly build, have, manufacture, and launch missiles, including at U.S. troops, because the UN Security Council resolution had expired. So, yes, it's not a coincidence that we saw those 223 strikes start in October of 2023. Biden tried to ignore them at first to pretend they weren't going on, but by January, we had 3 dead troops on our hands and over 80 catastrophic brain injuries. So what'd he do? A strongly worded letter. And then he bombed the facilities used by an Iranian proxy group that had allegedly done the invasion and, you know, the bombing in Jordan and killed our troops. But he gave them 2 days notice so they could clear out before he did it. Essentially, he blew up another aspirin factory. This is why I get enraged at the grinding stupidity of people on even our side who are like, this is an optional war. Trump's had no optional wars. We're not going to do it. We're not going to fight. They were already fighting. They'd already hit us. They can hit our bases as far into Europe as Italy. The fact that Biden ignored that doesn't make this an optional war. The fact that most people don't know about those strikes because the media wisely didn't cover them very widely does not make this an optional war. Jesse Waters put it best when he described the debt of gratitude the world owes Trump for taking out Iran.
If the mission's a success, the world will owe the president a debt of gratitude because one third of the world's population was within Iranian missile range from Paris to Calcutta. And with their Iranian stockpiles, their ambition was Armageddon.
We are exactly where Rubio predicted we would be in 2015.
And so I want to be recorded for history's purposes, if nothing else, to say that those of us who opposed this deal understood where it would lead. And we are making a terrible mistake.
Ironically, he ended that speech hoping that some future leader would demolish all of this militarily, because there would be no other way forward if the deal passed. It's insane, because that's exactly what happened. What happens next? Victor Davis Hanson knows.
So now the question is the domestic support, and the base is going to be very tricky because the MAGA base, remember, it was predicated on no forever wars and no optional wars in the Middle East in reaction to Afghanistan and Iraq. The domestic support will depend on how many American casualties, how quick is it over, and how effective are the results. If it is over within 3 weeks and there's a revolution and they have some type of transitional government, unlike Iraq, then everybody's going to say, I was for it all along, even the ones that are against it.
Battleground America with Tara Servatius. Please subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Share with friends, family, and other free thinkers. Thanks for listening.